Welcome back to Reliving the War, and welcome to the 2nd of March, 1998. Tonight, Nitro's in Philadelphia, while Raw's War comes from Cleveland. It's another one of those weeks where WCW decide to put on a million matches and promos, and everything moves very fast, whereas WWF take their time expanding storylines while on their journey to WrestleMania. So let's just get straight into it with Nitro's first 60 minutes, as always, and then we'll check out Raw. The NWO are seen arriving in two limousines. The whole crew's here except Macho Man Randy Savage. I still can't get over the fact that he's supposed to be part of the NWO, even though everyone in the group hates his guts. Feels like we're on the road to a swerve, bro, but we'll get to all that soon. Tony Schiavone announces a Randy Savage and Sting versus Hulk Hogan and Scott Hall main event for tonight, while giving us his classic most important night in the history of our sport line. And I wish I would have kept count of this too. He says it so often that it's probably a bigger number than Goldberg's winning streak. The Philadelphia crowd went nuts for Chris Benoit during the opening match, Benoit versus Scotty Riggs. Benoit had to deal with Lodi on the outside too, but he still managed to defeat Riggs after three German suplexes in the Crippler Crossface. No other Flock members appeared, not even there later, so thanks Raven. Hulk Hogan's compulsory promo was up next. Macho Man's a piece of crap, his marriage failed, he failed in Hollywood, he joined the NWO and NWO's always been for life, but Randy stepped out of line. Yada yada yada, Hogan can beat the Stinger, Hogan and Hall will punk, dunk and beat Sting and Savage, and Hogan's gonna take what's left of Savage and beat him in the cage at Uncensored. Eric Bischoff is absolutely 100% daydreaming here, he's on another fucking planet. Hollywood's just too sweet, NWO for life, NWOites, dudes, bras, you know the drill. Check it out though, Scoop, you owe this man $50, pay up you cheapskate. Chavo Guerrero took on Juventud Guerrera next, and Juve kissed his mask while making his entrance. Did losing the mask make Juve less botchy? Well, he didn't mess up at all during this match, so maybe exposing his pretty little face was a good thing. I like this tornado DDT counter in the corner, even though the audience couldn't have gave a shit. One fan would rather be in Cleveland watching Raw, but I thought this was pretty solid, no complaints. Guerrera pulls off a Juve driver in the 450 for the win. He says afterwards, "This isn't the end, it's only the beginning." Prince Aguirre versus Psychosis, on the other hand, yeah, not great. Psychosis had the match won after a guillotine leg drop, but he wanted to continue the punishment. He really should have ended it right there because it would have saved the crowd from seeing this right here. This is how Prince Aguirre won the match.
Disco fever, yeah, 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 yeah.
Raven was not in the mood for disco dancing when he faced the Inferno next. The Philadelphia audience did not cheer for Raven. They were all in for the Disco Inferno. Disco almost stole a victory early on with a swinging neckbreaker, but Raven kicks out and the two fight on the outside. Both men take guardrail bumps before Raven throws a chair in the ring, but it's Raven who takes the impact here. Disco drops Raven while wrapping wrist tape around his neck, but then Raven comes back with a drop toe hold on the chair, followed by the even flow. Raven defeats Disco on Nitro. The Philadelphia audience did cheer for Public Enemy though when they took on Barbarian and Hugh Morris. Jimmy Hart got involved and he whipped Johnny Grunge like his name was Scoop and he owed him $50. Absolute chaos in this one, and Tony Schiavone gets conveniently handed a note near the end of the bout saying that this is now a Philadelphia street fight. Amazing. ECW chants break out when Jimmy Hart gets put on a table, but the Barbarian save Jimmy and Rocco Rock takes the bump. Still, Public Enemy come back and check out the table slowly folding in half here under Hugh Morris's weight. A leg drop wins the match for the Public Enemy. Lodi held up a sign saying, "Nick, nice haircut," and take a look, that's a fucking great hairdo right there from Nick Patrick, isn't it? Randy Savage comes out and he says, "For one night only, the Macho Man and Sting are gonna do business because it's the only way they could get Hulk and Hall in the ring." The thing is though, Sting has to do business Savage's way. Stinger comes to the ring, he grabs a mic, and here we go, Sting's gonna cut a promo. Sting says last week Scott Hall told him to bring it and the Icon brought it. Tonight though, the survey says Scott Hall's done for in the main event. In regards to Macho, Sting doesn't forgive and Sting doesn't forget. Sting then says he can only do business his way and not Macho's, and he ends the promo by imitating Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah.
Raw kicks off this week with a DX promo. Nitro continues on with Goldberg versus Sick Boy. So HBK's back in a WWF ring, but he's not going to wrestle any matches until WrestleMania. Triple H says the road to WrestleMania officially begins tonight. WrestleMania is now X-rated or X-rated. Parents need to get their children's permission to watch, and discretion is advised but will be completely ignored. Owen Hart's run as European champion is about to come to an end. Hunter's going to go through Owen like a hot knife through butter. And speaking of hot knives, Triple H has a utensil that the ladies would love to get in their drawers. It's this amazing watermelon cutter. It gets perfect slices every time. HBK addresses Mike Tyson. When Tyson and his boys make it to the arena tonight, DX are going to make Mike an offer he can't refuse. But if Mike makes the wrong decision, then Tyson will never forget DX, and that's a promise. Steve Austin's going to face the showstopper, the icon, the main event at WrestleMania. And Sean's going to show the world that the toughest SOB in the WWF is not tough enough to take on the Heartbreak Kid. Sean tells Austin to get on his dancing shoes because he will taste sweet chin music tonight on Raw. And then the glass shatters and Steve Austin walks down to the ring. He squares up to Sean in the ring, but then the lights go out in the arena and we hear Kane's music. DX get out of the ring. Paul Bearer tells Austin not to worry about WrestleMania because tonight Kane's gonna send him straight to hell. Kane and Bearer leave and Stone Cold goes to the commentary table. He's not happy that Sean ran away and he says he has no problems taking on Kane either while calling JR a piece of trash. Austin isn't going to let anyone stop him from getting the Mania and winning the championship. Not Kane, not Mike Tyson, and not Shawn Michaels. Over on Nitro, we've got a short Goldberg match, but there was some good stuff here, like this chokeslam counter from Sick Boy's springboard attack. Goldberg then absorbed Sick Boy's punches, and he performed a crisscross spear that also looked pretty good. And the jackhammer results in Goldberg scoring another victory on Monday Nitro. Goldberg defeated Ric Fuller on Thunder, so this victory over Sick Boy means Goldberg is now 40-0. WCW are still yet to announce how many victories Goldberg's obtained during his winning streak. The New Age Outlaws take on the DOA next on Raw. On Nitro, DDP battles Van Hammer. Before the Raw match, we see Mike Tyson arriving to the arena with his new best bud forever, Shane McMahon. And then we get reminded of what Cactus and Chainsaw did last week when the Outlaws were trying to leave the arena. Road Dogg and Badass have neck braces on, and Road Dogg says the Outlaws are going to press charges. We see footage that James captured last week from his handheld camera, and due to the severe injury sustained last week, the Outlaws announced that they won't be able to wrestle tonight on Raw. Sergeant Slaughter then appears on the Titantron, and because the boys were talking a whole lot of shit, the commissioner decides that the Outlaws are going to wrestle tonight. Plus, their tag team titles are going to be up for grabs. Out come Biker Michael Likers, 8-Ball and Skull, and immediately they rip those neck braces off and they get the upper hand over the tag team champions. Things get chaotic very early on, and the referee has no control over the match. B.A. Billy Gunn smacks a dirty old asshole with his tag team belt, and this immediately changes things. The other Disciple of Ass gets thrown into a dumpster that was sitting at ringside, but when the Outlaws go to approach the fallen Liker of all things Michael, Chainsaw Charlie and Cactus Jack appear. The timing was perfect, by the way, with the lids flying open. The tag champs get out of harm's way and they escape through the audience, and the DOA rub shoulders with Greatness for a bit as they celebrate with Terry Funk and Mick Foley. On Nitro, a music video airs, Rising by Stuck Mojo. The video features Diamond Dallas Page and Raven's Flock, and it was this partnership that led to Chris Jericho and Rich Ward getting together to eventually create Fozzy. So you can thank WCW for that. After the video airs, DDP comes to the ring to address Raven. He says Raven's nothing but a crybaby who hides behind his faction. So this Thursday on Thunder, seeing as Raven likes to quote so much, Raven can quote this.
You're getting banged!
Raven's gonna get banged. Nice. The US title's on the line in that Thunder match, but I'll let you know what happens next week. After a commercial break, Van Hammer gets in the ring and he wants Paige to come back. That is, if Paige hasn't left to film another Stuck Mojo video. Two things. First, you were in that video too, Hammer, so shut it. Second, why are you talking like that?
Stuck Mojo video.
DDP comes back through the crowd and he makes quick work of No Jammer with a diamond cutter. Raven then jumps in the ring and we've got a fight between Paige and the leader of the flock, Just then, Chris Benoit returns to the ring and he hits Raven with a few German suplexes. But when he holds Raven up so Dallas can get in a free shot, it's Benoit who takes the impact. Dallas and Benoit then start fighting. Raven joins in on the fun moments later. I think there's only one way to settle this, boys, and for those who don't know, the upcoming uncensored match featuring Benoit, Raven, and DDP is a whole lot of fun. I'm looking forward to watching it again. Marvelous Mark Merrow versus Tom Brandy on Raw. On Nitro, we've got a Bret Hart promo plus Davey Boy Smith versus Scott Norton. Merrow sends Sable to the back as usual and the crowd boos. He gets in the ring to face Tom Brandy once again, and I really thought this little mini rivalry was done with. It's Brandy sending Sable the presents, isn't it? Dirty rotten bass. Mark gets his marvelous little marble smashed in the ring post, but he comes back with his always awful sit down powerbomb. Brandy gets body slammed and Merrow shadow boxes for a bit, and the crowd boos when Luna makes her way down the ringside. It looks like she's gonna stand in Mark's corner. Brandy counters a TKO and he pulls off a front suplex, but Luna ends up helping Merrow big time when she grabs Brandy's foot and she smacks Tom across the face. Merrow delivers a low blow, Brandy bumps twice for the TKO because it was so devastating, and Marvelous Mark wins on Raw's War. It looks like Mark didn't want any help, but Luna's celebrating with the Marvelous One, even going as far as kissing Merrow while Merrow protests. Turns out Mark isn't the stud muffin he thought he was because it was all a big setup. Here comes Goldust to get some revenge for last week, and here comes Sable who's just gonna kick everyone's asses. Sable goes after Luna and again the crowd pops as Vachon gets flung across the ring. Referees step in to stop the fight, and when Goldust and Luna leave, Merrow starts screaming at his wife. Sable once again pushes Merrow on his ass, and when Merrow demands that Sable returns to the ring for an apology, he ends up running away from his spouse. No milk and cookies for you tonight, Marvelous Mark Merrow. So you've got a wrestler who deep down's really afraid of his wife, and the wife is infinitely more popular than the actual wrestler. I mean, the dynamic of it all sure is interesting, and Merrow didn't care because it was more money for the Merrow household. Be a terrible shame if, you know, you got a divorce or some shit, but that's not gonna happen. On Nitro, Mike Tenay confirms that Kurt Hennig versus His Excellency will happen at Uncensored, and Brett says he's wrestled Kurt a lot over the years, and this time his fight with Kurt just so happens to fall in line with Brett's main mission in WCW, to dismantle the NWO brick by brick. Kurt isn't stronger than Brett, he's not faster, and he's not better than Brett. Kurt's gonna find out at Uncensored that Brett's the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. Kurt's dad couldn't beat Brett's dad, and Larry Hennig still couldn't beat Stu Hart today, just like Kurt can't beat Brett. Davey Boy then gets in the ring for his match with Big Scott Norton, and it's almost like Davey just saw Norton for the first time when he gets in the ring. He's like, oh fuck, look at the size of this guy. Davey tries to lock up as normal, but he gets shoved away. He's like, fuck it, let's do it again. Norton's just too strong. And Davey now regrets ever becoming a professional wrestler. Third time's a charm. There's a side headlock and... oh no, another try maybe? Nope. Oh Jesus, here he comes, and oh, Davey Boy, one step ahead. Davey with a body slam, Davey with a power slam, our guy's now filled with confidence, and damn it. One punch to the midsection and Davey's totally fucked. He gets clotheslined out of the ring, and check this out. Let's see that again. Zero contact on the ring post, not even a hand up, but we do get a little kick on the ring steps. Davey also started turning that weird purple color that we saw at Super Brawl, and it's almost like Davey's health meter is his actual body color. The more damaged he gets, the more purple he goes. Scott shoves the referee on the outside, and Davey wins via disqualification. The two fight back up the entranceway, and... it's getting a bit sad, isn't it? Our hero has fallen, guys. Still no chin locks from Davey and WCW. He just can't bring himself to do it. More hard action next. It's Owen versus Mark Henry on Raw. On Nitro, Conan battles Super Colo. The bell rings and Owen goes straight for Mark's legs. After stunning the big man, Owen climbs up to deliver a few punches in the corner, and we can clearly hear him tell Mark to push him. The veteran's teaching the greenhorn. Owen can't knock Henry down with clotheslines, but a spinning wheel kick sends the world's strongest man to the outside. And then China makes an appearance. This can't be good. Owen tells China to beat it, but she won't listen. Mark attacks Owen from behind. The Blackheart gets squashed in the corner, and China watches on as Mark drops an elbow. Mark then performs a backbreaker, but his second elbow drop misses. Owen tries to apply a sharpshooter, but he can't do it. Mark gets up and he performs a belly-to-belly suplex. Owen gets another chance to lock in that sharpshooter when Mark misses a splash, but again, Henry kicks Owen away. We see a missile drop kick from Owen. There's his second rope elbow drop. Owen delivers an enziguri, and finally the sharpshooter gets locked in. China gets on the apron and Owen's forced to break the hold. She then pushes Owen off the top rope right into a Mark Henry bear hug, and the match ends when China performs a low blow on Mark Henry. Looks like Owen got a bit of it too. Henry wins via disqualification. Michael Cole asks China why did she just do that, and China says, "Because I can." If you really can't work this out and you need an explanation, China did what she did so she could find out if Mark had the world's strongest balls, and clearly he did not. Owen's still the European champion, meaning that match with Triple H is still on for Mania. Speaking of WrestleMania, we see Vince McMahon talking with Mike Tyson backstage. Vince is telling Tyson what to look out for when Austin meets Michaels at Mania 14. Tyson looks absolutely ecstatic. Conan takes on Super Colo then on Nitro. Conan grabs a mic and he says he brought Juventud Guerrera to WCW and Hoovy paid him by losing his mask. Conan calls Hoovy a mark-ass buster, and I'll never be able to say that without it sounding dumb coming out of my mouth, but yeah, Hoovy's a mark-ass buster, and Hoovy's gonna pay. Conan's also offended that Hoovy put Never Surrender on his tights too. It's almost like Hoovy can't breathe without Conan calling him an asshole, but yeah, watch your back, Juventud. So, Conan thinks luchadors should keep their masks on, so why does he try to take off Super Colo's mask after their match? I'm not so sure, but Conan wins with a tequila sunrise and he tries to show the world that Colo ain't that super. But then Juventud Guerrera shows up and he demands a match against Conan. Conan says to the camera he'll fight Hoovy next week, and if Hoovy's lucky, Conan might also get him an audition with the Nitro Girls. Savage. On the USA Network, Taka and the Headbangers take on the Rock'n Roll Express and Barry Windham. On TNT, there's a Ric Flair promo going down. Looks like Taka lost a tooth, or he forgot to put his dentures in, poor kid. The Headbangers give Ricky and Robert credit. The Rock and Roll have beat thousands of great teams like the Midnight Express and the Horsemen, but the Headbangers beat the Rock and Roll last week on Raw. Taka calls Jim Cornette a jackass before the match begins. We start with Mosh backing Gibson into the ropes before performing a monkey flip. Taka then comes in, we see some Rock and Roll Express double teamwork, and then Big Barry Windham comes in to ruin Taka's day. Taka manages to tag out before any significant damage can be done, but then the match totally breaks down, and producer Kevin Dunn must have totally broke down in the TV truck because the production of the finish is a complete mess. Taka performs his dive to the outside, Mosh fights with Ricky on the outside too. The crowd pops, we see Thrasher pinning Robert, and we have no idea what just happened. Michael Cole explains that Cornette got in the ring and he tried to use his racket, but Thrasher grabbed it and he used it to his advantage. We do see the finish during a replay right here. Jim Cornette wants the Headbangers to put those tag team titles on the line next week. Sounds like GMZ has some sort of surprise in store for Mosh and Thrasher. On Nitro, Slick Rick says he's here tonight to see the big tag team match. He would have went to a Nitro party with Mean Gene, but seeing Sting and Savage versus Hall and Hogan meant more to Rick than partying with the Nitro girls. We believe you, Rick. Flair also says he hopes Bret Hart beats Kurt Hennig at Uncensored. And speak of the devil, there's Kurt and ravishing Rick Rude. Kurt says if he and Rude decided to attack Flair right now, Bret Hart wouldn't come down to help the Nature Boy. So Flair challenges Kurt to a fight and Rude can stay out of the ring. That way, Slick Rick won't need any assistance from the Hitman. We get a decent little fight here between Flair and Hennig, and the crowd were definitely into it. Flair takes control at the beginning, but Hennig gets in a fair bit of offense too afterwards. When it looks like Rick's about to put Kurt away, ravishing Rick Rude jumps in and fans eagerly await the arrival of the Hitman. Hennig performs a perfect plex and Rude's supposed to count to three, but Rick instead takes his jacket off really slowly and he then gets down on the mat to make the count, meaning that Flair had his shoulders on the mat for about 10 seconds and you can see he's pissed off about it. Bret eventually runs down, but he's way too late, so yeah, thanks for nothing, Bret. Vince McMahon and Mike Tyson cut an in-ring promo next on Raw. On Nitro, Scotty Steiner battles Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Look at the fan signs here on Raw. It looks so good on TV. Vince gets booed by the audience when he asks fans to give Tyson a warm welcome. Even naming the city for a cheap pop doesn't work. Tyson comes down to the ring, and Vince wonders if Tyson's going to be the enforcer, or is Steve Austin going to enforce his own rules during the big title match? McMahon says all questions will be answered at WrestleMania, and the crowd continues to boo. Vince tells the audience to have some respect. Just as Tyson's about to talk, DX's music plays, and Tyson says, "Aw, shit," into the microphone. Officials jump in the ring as Sean takes the mic from Vince. Sean says his name isn't Steve Austin, DX aren't here to disrespect Tyson because that's not their style. What they will do, however, is call people out face to face. Mike Tyson should make no mistake about it, he's looking at the WWF champion, and the WWF champion is calling Tyson out right here and right now. Tyson says, "Alright, let's do it," and then Sean tells everyone to get out of the ring. The crowd gets louder and louder as the ring clears out, and it's only HBK and Tyson in there. These two are actually going to fight on Raw, and the excitement building inside the arena is absolutely unreal. The two square up to each other, the two shove each other. Tyson points to his chin and he says, "Hit me, motherfucker," as Sean balls up his fist. HBK grabs Tyson's shirt and he decides not to swing a punch, but he rips off the shirt instead. And by God, King, Mike Tyson has joined D-Generation X. The crowd loved it. They didn't boo because there was no physicality. They cheered because it was awesome seeing Tyson wearing a DX shirt. Keep in mind, they booed him right up until the big reveal. His crotch chops could do with a little work, but let's ignore that. DX celebrate in the ring, Vince McMahon gets told to suck it, and Jim Ross wonders what this means for WrestleMania. There's no way Tyson can be a fair enforcer now that he's joined D-Generation X. Sean says, "For those who don't know, HBK's the man who runs the show. Vince can only look on from the entranceway," and there you have it, Mike Tyson is the newest member of DX. After a commercial break, we see DX celebrating in the locker room, and it looks like the funny pack's going to get busted wide open tonight, boys. On Nitro, Jim Duggan has the privilege of wrestling Scotty Steiner in Scott's first Nitro match since joining the NWO. Mike Tenay announces a Scott Steiner vs Lex Luger match at Uncensored as Scott gets in a cheap shot to start things off. Duggan's clothesline doesn't knock Scott down, but a second clothesline sends Scotty over the top rope. Inside the ropes, Duggan performs a body slam, but Scotty replies with a double underhook powerbomb before choking Duggan on the ropes. There's a Steiner chin lock. Fucking someone has to do it, Davey. And when Duggan starts fighting back, Scott hits a low blow. Steiner's diving sunset flip attempt fails when Hacksaw punches his head in. Duggan then lays in the punches in the corner, but he tumbles out of the ring after a missed Hacksaw splash. Duggan gets destroyed on the outside. Back inside the ring, we see a belly to belly, and Steiner ends it with a modified camel clutch submission. Bobby Heenan says that Scott told him the name of this move backstage. It's called a Steiner recliner. Kama gets motherfucked next on Raw by Steve Blackman, while Booker T and Dean Malenko take on Chris Jericho and Eddie Guerrero on Nitro. Kama looks terrified as he makes his entrance on Raw, while Farouk looks like he's joined Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation. Sergeant Slaughter's here again to send the nation back up the ramp, and Kama decides to fight fire with fire by throwing kicks at Blackman. Steve just absorbs the punishment. Blackman then tests out how bouncy Kama is with a shoulder block, and he counters a body slam. A waistlock gets countered with a back elbow, and Blackman allows Kama to clothesline him, seeing as he feels a little sorry for the supreme fighting machine. Steve performs a dropkick followed by a kick combo that Bruce Lee taught him. Blackman thinks about going for a 450 inverted corkscrew shooting star moonsault, but he's going to keep that one for a later date. A plancha will do instead. We see Air Motherfucker from Blackman, and Kama's in such a panic that he pulls off the ultimate spine buster, but Steve's spine is made of solid steel, so that ain't going to work, boy. Kama stops Blackman from using his eye lasers with an eye poke, but Steve's motherfucker senses begin tingling when Kama comes off the top rope. Kama's stunned, he takes a backbreaker as a fan chants boring. Clearly that fan's watching Nitro on his portable TV. Kama gets floored with the motherfucker kick, and when Steve goes for the motherfucker lock, the nation run down to ensure they aren't laying their comrade to rest after this match. Blackman takes a dominator in the rock bottom. He laughs as the nation tickle him with their weak offense, but still, Kenny Boy Shamrock comes down to clear out the ring. He's worried that Blackman might laugh to death. The nation head back up the ramp, and Raw moves on to its next match. Booker T calls this team fire and ice on his way to the ring. We have heard that one before. Jericho says he told everyone last week he wants Nitro changed to Monday Jericho. And the first guest on Monday Jericho is none other than Steady Eddie Guerrero. That's a lot of talent in the ring right now, isn't it? Jericho wears Juventud Guerrero's mask around his neck as Booker takes the lead early on. Jericho gets a break after a missile dropkick, but when Guerrero tags in, Booker manages to take care of both of his opponents. Malenko comes in too to lend his partner a hand, and that's great. Jericho and Guerrero hurry out of the ring and the crowd cheer as they try to get their shit together. Eddie comes back in and he gets on his knees for a handshake, but Booker squeezes down on Eddie's hand. Still though, Eddie's able to hit a low dropkick, and now the heels are going to try to stop Booker from tagging out. Jericho and Eddie perform a double shoulder block. Eddie performs his apron senton, but Booker replies with a forearm shot. Malenko gets tagged in and he takes both Guerrero and Jericho out. Eddie thinks he's being smart with this backdrop counter here, but Booker kicks him in the head before Eddie and Booker begin fighting on the outside. Malenko applies the cloverleaf while Booker stops Guerrero from getting in the ring, and the babyfaces win the match. We've got Jeff Jarrett versus Flash Funk on Raw, and Scott Steiner cuts a promo on Nitro. Scott says it's Philadelphia's lucky night. Not only did the audience get to see Steiner wrestle, but they're also going to see Brother Rick join the New World Order. Scott says when he joined the NWO, it was the right decision for both Steiner brothers, and Nash then tells Rick to come on down and get his shirt. Rick comes down, he gets in the ring, he gives the NWO the click hand gesture, and it looks like Rick's now part of the NWO. The crowd boos as Nash says you can get one of these NWO shirts at the merch stands, but when you get one from the NWO, you become family. Nash says it's an honor to induct Rick Steiner into the NWO. Rick gets his shirt, and then Rick attacks Nash. Rick Steiner is WCW for life. The numbers are too much though. Rick gets destroyed by the NWO and Nash goes for the powerbomb, but he backs off when Doug Dillinger approaches the ring. He goes for it one more time, but Rick counters with a backdrop and the NWO bail when the Giant shows up, leaving Big Sexy all alone to take a headbutt. Giant then sets Nash up for a powerbomb, and there it is, clean as a whistle. Looks like the move may have hurt Giant's neck, but it still looked impressive. Giant helps Rick to his feet, and during the commercial break, Dillinger tried to arrest Giant for using the powerbomb, but the handcuffs wouldn't fit, so Giant said, "Not today, Dougie boy," and he walked away a free man. Let's see that powerbomb again before moving on though. It's unbelievable. That goddamn Colonel Robert Parker's now in WWF. Last time we saw him, he was messing around with Sister Sherry, I think. He tells Cleveland to get on their feet and show respect for the greatest entertainer of our time, the greatest wrestler to ever step in the squared circle, Double J Jeff Jarrett, as in country singer Jeff Jarrett. Remember when Double J returned to WWF and he ripped into Vince McMahon for this very gimmick? Yeah, well, it's back. Double J Jeff Jarrett in the Attitude Era. He wishes Jim Cornette and the NWA luck, but the NWA were not prepared for a man of Jeff Jarrett's stature. So, what happened to the North American Championship then? Well, Cornette awarded it to Barry Windham and the NWA stripped Windham of the belt. It wouldn't be seen again until early August when the Colorado Kid defeated Recon for the belt in Nashville. Anyway, this is 100% the old WWF Jeff Jarrett, ain't I great and all that stuff. And Robert Parker is now known as Tennessee Lee. Lee's gonna manage Double J and the audience can hardly contain their excitement. Flash Funk then comes to the ring for his match, and it's a shame how Flash was getting used around this time, it really is. I mean, someone had to take a loss here because they weren't going to let Jarrett get pinned after bringing this character back, but I've been on a Too Cold Scorpio kick recently, and this guy could really, really go. Even Jim Ross talks about how underrated he's been in WWF, as Jerry Lawler can't stop talking about his buddy Double J. Tennessee Lee lends a hand and Funk falls from the top rope. Jarrett applies the figure four and Double J wins. Does going back in time help Double J's career? Does Colonel Robert Parker add anything to WWF? Does Flash Funk bounce back from another defeat and this loss actually turns out to be beneficial? Take a guess. It's then revealed that Jennifer Flowers will be part of WrestleMania. Gonna be honest, I had no idea who this was as a kid, but she's most famous for having an affair with Bill Clinton. Great. We have that Steve Austin and Kane confrontation next on Raw. On Nitro, Bret Hart battles Bryan Adams. We see Bret in full gear walking to the ring with the WCW Nitro stage behind him, and it still doesn't look right. But he gets in the ring and Brian wastes no time going after the Hitman. Bret doesn't have his jacket off as Adams performs a backbreaker. Bret rolls out of the ring where Adams does a little damage at the guardrail, but it's the NWO's dirty old asshole who gets his head rammed in the ring post. Bret then throws Adams into the steps, and back in the ring, the Hitman lays in a few corner punches before hitting his Russian leg sweep. Bret then hits a jumping clothesline and a backbreaker. He goes for the elbow drop, and Brian's counter gets countered with a sharpshooter attempt, though Adams makes it to the ropes. Hart's hip toss attempt gets countered with a clothesline. Adams performs a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker, and the match then comes to an end when Bret Hart counters a corner attack and he applies the sharpshooter. Kurt Hennig hits the ring, and the bell sounds. DQ finish. Bret and Hennig go at it, and Bret has to duck a chair swing from the former Mr. Perfect. Fans chant HBK as Bret and Kurt fight on the entranceway, though Brian Adams comes to Hennig's rescue. Before the cameras cut away, Tony Schiavone says, "We're going to come back to the match that fans have been waiting for." A stark reminder that a Bret Hart match in WCW means absolutely jack shit. You know what, if Bret wasn't going to get that Hogan match, he shouldn't have been involved with the NWO at all in terms of opponents and storylines. Put him with Raven, DDP, Eddie, and all those guys instead. At least we wouldn't see the standard DQ finishes week after week. DX are seen in the parking lot, and Triple H says Mike Tyson joined DX because he's a winner who wants to be around winners. D-Generation X are certainly winners. Michael Cole wants to hear from Tyson, and all Tyson says is Stone Cold's gonna get knocked out cold before getting in his limo. Paul Bear's in the ring, and he says it was a shock seeing Tyson join DX, but it'll be a bigger shock for Austin when he wakes up beside The Undertaker tomorrow in the pits of hell. The glass shatters, Austin walks out, but he notices Triple H standing on the stage. Austin goes for Hunter, and Shawn Michaels catches Stone Cold with Sweet Chin Music. So there's gonna be no fight tonight between the Big Red Machine and the Texas Rattlesnake. Still though, Kane and Paul Bearer wait in the ring. They've got more to say to close out Monday Night Raw. This superkick from Michaels would get replayed quite a lot in the run-up to WrestleMania. WCW's 156th most important night in the history of our sport ends with Savage and Sting versus Hogan and Hall. On Raw, Paul Bearer and Kane cut a promo. Eric Bischoff takes a sign off a fan that says, "Raw fears ratings. You'll be regretting that in a few weeks, Mr. Bischoff." Hollywood and Hall get in the ring, and there's no survey this week. Here comes Sting and Randy Savage, and remember, Randy turned his back on Sting to join the NWO last year. Sting hasn't forgotten. Bit of a communication error here when everyone goes to the same corner during the initial brawl. Sting whacks Bischoff and the crowd cheers. All four men fight on the outside next, and Sting hits Hogan with a chair. Sting and Hogan get in the ring where Hollywood gets whacked with his own weight belt. These two go out of the ring again, and when they get back inside, we see Randy's got that belt and Hall's getting whipped. It settles down to Hall and Savage in the ring. Hall takes a back elbow before Sting gets in. The Stinger performs a body slam followed by a Vader bomb, and the commentators can't believe that a WCW guy and an NWO guy are working together. Savage and Sting perform a double clothesline. Sting performs an elbow drop and he punches Hogan off the apron. Savage sees this as an opportunity to attack Hogan. Back in the ring, Sting and Savage continue to work well together, but Eric Bischoff's the difference maker. He distracts the referee and Sting, allowing Hogan to hit Savage with a spray can. Hogan then tags in while Randy's hurt, and Hulk's gonna take every shortcut he can to keep Savage away from Sting. Scott Hall comes in and he performs the fall away slam. Hogan performs the big boot and a scoop slam, but he misses the elbow drop. Sting gets the hot tag. We see two Stinger splashes before Sting goes for the deathlock, and fuck's sake. NWO interference, DQ finish. WCW guys come down to the ring and try to even the odds. The NWO booty man's in there and he performs a chartbuster. No, not a stunner, he's copying the copy. Booty man saves Hogan while Sting clears the ring. The Giant then shows up and the NWO completely retreat. And yeah, most important night in the history of wrestling, guys. On Raw, Paul Bearer tells Kane to go out and get the ring bell, but instead, Kane beats the shit out of a fan at ringside. Awesome. Kane then grabs that ring bell and the timekeeper, and Paul says he thinks we should all pay respects to The Undertaker. He wants the bell rung 10 times out of respect for the fallen phenom. Mark Eaton rings the bell, and then Paul says to ring it one more time because Kane's gonna absolutely ruin Mark's day with a chokeslam. Paul wants to see a tombstone piledriver too, and Kane totally plants Mark before Paul continues on. Paul says, "We have came to the end of the road, the end of the path of destruction. Kane and Paul Bearer have done exactly what they said they were going to do. But Kane has one more tombstone left in his giant body. And Paul wonders who should get it. Maybe Jerry Lawler, maybe Jim Ross, maybe someone in the back should step up and take this final tombstone." What? The ring gets soaked in blue lights as the gong plays over and over again. Paul promises Kane that it's not him, he's not here. Jim Ross says it's getting colder in the arena, and then the crowd pops as they notice a coffin sitting on the stage. A bolt of lightning hits the coffin, and there he is, the Undertaker's on Raw. The reaction he gets when he sits up from the coffin is absolutely incredible. Taker says, "Welcome to hell and the demon who will lead you to eternal damnation."
"Don't you know that you cannot destroy that that does not wish to perish? And you, Paul, the audacity to come out here week after week and claim responsibility for my disappearance. The fact of the matter is, on those times, while I returned to the world of darkness, it's of my own accord. What I was doing was soothing the souls of my parents, because I had to explain to them why I would have to do the one thing I promise never to do."
Whoa! That's the Undertaker!
"I will walk straight through the fires of hell to face you, Kane. You will understand why. I am the Reaper of Wayward Souls, and you will understand why. I am the Lord of Darkness. I want you to remember when we were small children, and we would begin to fight. Mother and father were always there to pull me off of you. Well, this time, there won't be anyone to save you. May the hounds of hell eat your rotting soul, and you will rest."
Absolutely amazing. Raw wins Reliving the War this week. The return of The Undertaker is a real moment in Raw history. We got Mike Tyson joining DX, and overall, Raw just had way better structure with everything getting good enough time, and there wasn't an insane rushed feeling to the show like Monday Nitro. Brett's debut wasn't good on the WCW side, the main event was laughable, the undercard was solid as always, but leaving fans with a sour taste in their mouths at the end of shows week by week isn't the way to go. Very soon, the numbers are going to prove that too. Raw's now got 56 points, Nitro's got 53 points, and we've got 14 ties. In the television ratings, Nitro won with an impressive 4.8, while Raw jumps way up to 3.8. Both companies were creating new fans, both companies were making wrestling hot, and this would only continue to grow over the next few months. Next week on Nitro, we've got DDP and Benoit versus Raven and Saturn. Chris Jericho takes on Disco Inferno, and we've got a big WCW vs NWO six-man tag main event. On Raw, Owen Hart battles Barry Windham, Mike Tyson gets interviewed by Jim Ross, and The Undertaker plays mind games with his little brother. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Thank you so much for watching, guys. I really, really do appreciate it. And take care.